Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Hey, no matter where, no matter when, this is Jason and Troy, and you are listening to The Power of Performance. Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, hot, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a rather long walk, but a really short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to our guest co-host today. His name is Jay Cassing. That's why we rolled that great intro music. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great, Jason. So happy to be with you and all the listeners today.
That is right. Jay is one of the principal owners up at Marquee, who is also, by way of extension, our sponsor. And so before you go into the great unknown, before you go into the future wondering about profitability and how to acquire new and lasting relationships at your bank or credit union, www.gomarquee.com, GOMARQUIS.com. They got everything you need. Everyone knows them for CRM and MCIF, but they are also one of the fastest growing creative agencies in the financial marketplace. And guess what, Jay? We've got Troy calling in from the NYIB out in San Diego.
Awesome.
Hey, Troy, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm all so right. Glad to be the Rose Recording Show.
So, what's going on in San Diego?
Well, I just want to let you know we're here with the NYIB, which is the National Youth Involvement Board, and our responsibility is to equip the teachers who are going to reach the youth in credit unions for financial literacy. And I have with me here from South Carolina the CU Forward protege, and those are for the individuals 35 and under for the state of South Carolina, and this is my good buddy Will. Hey, Will, say hello.
Hey, Jason, how's it going?
Hey, Will, it's Jay and Jason here on the phone today. Is Troy being good out there in San Diego?
Oh, yeah, I mean, Troy's being Troy. You know, he's ball of fire, ball of energy, and, you know, so he's rocking the house here.
Nice.
Well, notice that the only four-letter word he used was fire when he said ball of.
Besides Troy, that's a four-letter word, I think.
Yeah, Troy is definitely a four-letter word. It's probably the only four-letter word we use in the radio show. Now, Jay, are you familiar with the NYIB?
I'm not. I'm thrilled to hear more about it. And I'm fascinated to see what they're doing, certainly in South Carolina, and what you guys have been able to learn as you've been there for the event.
Well, Will, for somebody that doesn't know a whole lot about the NYIB, why don't y'all tell us and our listeners your elevator speech about the NYIB?
No, absolutely. This is actually the third year that I've come to this particular conference. The previous 2 years, it was in New Orleans and Pittsburgh. But what NYIB, the main purpose as far as for the few days that we're here, is to kind of equip us with the knowledge of not just as far as how to reach the youth better and as far as when it comes to our presentations and our learning, but it kind of goes even deeper as far as to us about how, you know, we kind of go through the different kind of thought processes and, you know, learning and teaching in different ways besides just clicking through a PowerPoint. And I mean, a lot of times it's credit union driven, but a lot of times we have people here who are from different industries different backgrounds to kind of teach us things about, you know, leadership and confidence and kind of good qualities to make sure that we're, you know, doing a great job, not just in the classroom, but in our own personal lives here. And so we got people all across the country, you know, from coast to coast. And so it's, you know, it's a great kind of learning experience, too, to be able to talk with different people from, you know, obviously California, but as far north as Maine and all the way down to Florida. So it's been good.
That's awesome.
Well, it's awesome. You're migrating from New Orleans to Pittsburgh to San Diego. You finally reached the promised land.
Yes.
Amen. I tell you, the weather here, I mean, there's no humidity. None. You know, I mean, I got cold last night, and it's July. You know, who'd have thought?
Now, you know, the second part of our show, Will, we're going to be talking about social media from the context of, is it social media voodoo? Is it not time after a solid 5 years to honestly look at social media and say, are we getting any return on investment from this? Is that not the purpose of social media? Neither Jay or myself considers ourselves an expert on social media, but as a young guy, where do you think we are right now with social media in terms of both the credit union marketplace and how we're using it to intentionally engage that audience of young people that every brand needs to confidently move forward into the future?
I think as far as where we'll be in the next 5 years, particularly when it comes to, I guess I forgot through Twitter, I guess when credit unions, you know, particularly kind of use Twitter, to me it seems like it should be the easiest social media tool for credit unions to get, but somehow it just isn't, you know, whether it's because of geography or, you know, certain either particular kinds of credit unions, but Twitter hasn't quite caught on as easily, I think, as Facebook has for credit unions in order to kind of engage with their members. So, where I think in, you know, probably the next 5 years, you'll see financial institutions kind of, you know, pick their poison, because, you know, I guess for the previous 5 years, it's been, all right, well, you got to be on everything and try to reach as many people as possible through all the social networks ranging from Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest. But I think in the next 5 years, you'll see just, you know, whatever kind of works best for either a particular community bank or credit union, you know, I think the institutions are going to just begin to use whatever works best. But as far as connecting with as far as with the customer or with the member, I think that kind of remains to be seen, because it you know, I don't think we should be, you know, Facebook shouldn't be just like another hotline tool, you know, in case you have a problem, but, you know, it should be kind of a way to kind of build the conversation. So it's going to be interesting to see over the next 5 years what happens.
Very good. Very good. Well, listen, we're big fans of the NYIB. I like what you guys are doing, getting out there and educating young people about the value of joining the credit. Jay, did you have any final thoughts or questions for Will?
No, I wish him the best. I've done some financial literacy in my community, and God, it's a huge need in, I'm certain, everywhere in the world, but certainly in our own communities, helping young people, even some and many adults, understand how to manage and work with financial institutions, manage their monthly, daily lives, and live within their means. So many are just stretched beyond. So I wish you great luck, Will. Sounds like a great event, and I'm going to have to look into understanding better what it is you all do.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. And if you do want to look online, if you're on a Twitter feed, you want to go to NYIB13, and you'll find out where the conversation's going on. So, folks, I just want to make sure I give a special shout-out to my buddy Will here, Will Crosswell. He is the business development person there for Palmetto First Federal Credit Union in Florence, South Carolina. And so we're just really happy that Will was able to speak with us here today and give us a little bit of information. I have some opinions, of course, to be no surprise to you, as to
no.
Why I think that maybe Facebook is a little bit more adopted in the credit union sphere versus Twitter, but let's not underestimate that 5 to 10 year look to the future that we have. So Will's going to get back to the presentation. I'm going to hang out here on the phone, Jason, then you can call on me when you need to.
Jason, I'll see you later. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Will.
All right, man. Best of luck to you, Will. Hey, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into this conversation about social media. Is it voodoo? Is it am I wrong to be looking at it as a profitability tool? I talked to Jay about an article he had in the CU Insight, and we're going to do it all right after this. You're listening to The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more? That is right, The Power of Performance, each and every Wednesday, the show that asks that question, if your brand were a band, are you leaving your audience wanting more? Now, Jay, he mentioned that they're out in San Diego. And when I worked for Marquee, I believe it was in 2006, y'all had your conference out at the, I forgot the name of the resort out there, a beautiful place out in San Diego. Ooh,
yeah, it was Pleasant, Point Pleasant or...
something.
In fact,
yeah.
Yeah. This is
Paradise
hot
Point.
Breaking
Paradise
news.
Point.
Paradise Point, our
Paradise
next
Point.
Conference is going to be in San Diego.
Oh,
we have not announced that yet, but that paperwork's getting finalized today. We're going to ride back out there.
Oh, it was a great conference. I remember going to the aquarium. We went to the Padres game. I remember we rented a little boat. Great sessions, great speakers, and I didn't send one tweet from that conference. I had never heard of LinkedIn. I had never heard of Facebook. By way of review, do you remember when it was a rumor? When you heard people just sort of talking about these things before the rumor became the reality?
You know, I don't. I remember mangling tweets and said I was going to be Twittering a couple of years ago, right? And not really understanding what I was saying and embarrassed to admit it, but it was just true. It was new enough for me that I didn't get it. And no, but this stuff kind of happens, and it all of a sudden happens last night. And
right.
You go, wow, that was fast. When did this happen? And you feel like you're the last one to know. And yet at the same time, you know, you look at who else this happens to. Bill Gates, what, a decade, 15 years ago, wrote The Road Ahead.
Right.
It didn't talk about the internet at all. It didn't talk about the possibility of what this might mean. And so he had to create a subsequent version, I believe that's right, that discussed it, because as soon as it got out there, the internet exploded.
You know, it was sort of like The Road Ahead got detoured or went off the cliff. I remember that book very, very well. My dad got it to me for my birthday, and I remember reading it, and I remember a few years afterwards going, this is not the road. And at the time, I was a huge Microsoft fan and Bill Gates fan. Let me ask Troy. Troy, do you remember when it was still a rumor before all of this stuff became the reality?
All I can remember is that the internet, that Al Gore created the internet. That's all I can remember.
I do remember that. I do remember that. I was on the phone earlier today with a young lady named Lynn Gregory, and back in April of 2009, I attended a conference put on by Q's up at Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and it was after my session. She came up and she said, "Have you heard of LinkedIn?" And I was like, "No, I've never heard of LinkedIn." And it was later that year we did a concert for financial literacy out in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and one of the performers, his mom was a marketing guru, and she asked me, had I started my Twitter account? And I was like, nope, haven't done that either. So for me, that 2009 time period is kind of when I started to be aware that there was something going on that I wasn't a part of, even though I'd like to think of myself at least as somebody that was sort of ahead of the game and stuff like that. When Marquee was faced with the decision on how much of this to embrace, are we going to have a Facebook page, are we going to have a Twitter account, do you remember what those discussions were like, Jay?
Yeah, it became a function of how much time is it going to take to add content. Is this a place for our kind of B2B? You know, we're providing solutions to banks, credit unions across the world. And Are they looking to Facebook? This isn't a consumer-driven product. This is a business product. And who's going to do it? Who's going to monitor it? Is it where they need to be? We chose to go through a private group site. So all of our clients are connected to us via a group site, and we can post things that are specific to clients that add value to the client relationships we have. And then we use just other LinkedIn or whatever social media elements to put thought content out there. We've squatted on some pages, we have not done anything more formal than that.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask Troy. Now, Troy, when you guys at South Carolina Federal were talking about, you know, how much of this do you remember what those conversations were like when you were thinking about Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that? I mean, was it something that y'all talked about? And when you had the original discussions, was anybody asking the question, how are we going to use this to make money? Or was that not part of the discussion?
No, it was really never part of the conversation. What we always approached it from was the extension of the communication that we would have with the consumer. So from the initial perspective of when you have your traditional face-to-face or you have your consumers calling in to a central number, it's all the relationship or the ability to transfer products and services from one person to the next occurs really through a conversation. Now, you can still do, of course, online buying today, but at that time, it was all about the conversation. And so what we did was we did it from an experimental standpoint. So the senior vice president of marketing and myself, we started out with both MySpace and Facebook pages and just started seeing what we could gain in the traffic. What was the conversation out there? Where was the direction going? And we were inspired by a book called Groundswell. And I don't, since I'm not at my office, I don't have the author's name to tell you, but the book is Groundswell. And it really just sort of talks about the sweeping movement of this social media interaction with folks. And I think that realistically what happened is it was new. I mean, it was uncharted territory, and people were afraid, like, gosh, we're going to be mixing business with personal. But, you know, we do it all the time, but for some reason, because the delivery channel was different, we all of a sudden got this, like, you know, big scared face and wasn't really sure what to do. But you know, I think today that you're not going to be relevant if you're not in the conversation. And the only way to reach the generational group in the conversation is through social media. And what Will was talking about from credit union perspective is this. It's because of the demographic, because we tend to lean more towards the 35 and up in credit union land as far as our professional and most of the membership, they are more drawn to Facebook. What you're finding with the younger generation is that they are drawn more toward to doing the tweeting because they want that Twitter account is their opportunity to have their own network, but they can be even much more selective. And because they're hypersensitive and hyperconnected, they want to have that information done immediately. And so that's what really that's what Twitter allows them to do. It's immediate, and they don't have to worry about posting faces and pictures and stuff like that, which they still can do, but it's just, you know, having that conversation.
Very good. Now, Jay, you wrote an article in the CU Insight recently that I thought was very, very interesting, both for the content of the article and the reaction that it got from some folks. And it said, you know, marketers need to spend the majority, in all caps, of their time, effort, thoughts, budget, strategy, generating real measurable revenue and profit growth. And I'm just not sure that there's any way to do that with social media or to prove that it's providing any of that. I mean, again, I'm holding out the possibility that I'm wrong in looking at it from that perspective, but I really don't think I am.
Well, that was the intent of – there were two things I was coming at it with. We need to be having the conversation, but we need to have established some very clear goals and objectives. It's kind of like anything we do in personal life and business, whatever. What is our goal? What are we trying to accomplish? Because the questions and everything we do that follow are going to meet those specific goals and objectives. Well, the same should be true for social media. Unfortunately, in talking with CEOs and industry leaders, they're just going, we're spending all this energy, all this money, all this conversation. I don't have a single marketing conversation that doesn't have half of it consumed by social media.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have any proof that there's any real value. There's value, and no one questions that. The concern I have is there's too much energy and time and not enough focus or goals or strategy that is limiting enough that allows or enables a marketing department to focus on what is about today, today's member, today's revenue and profit expectations, and what you're trying to provide to the membership. And social media is a piece of it. Digital marketing, where you're doing much more online tracking of activity at your website and trying to track and understand better online activity, there's absolute value and provable ROI with that sort of thing.
Right.
But I don't think social media is about making money. It's about having the conversation and making sure you're top of mind. But we can't have the primary responsibility of the second person in a two-person marketing department be social media.
Right. Right. Well, listen, folks, when we get back from the break, I'm going to have a couple more questions for Jay and Troy as we talk about this. This is just the start of it. Next week, we're going to have another show called Social Media Wake-Up Call, and we're going to talk to some people that I think are doing a great job using their social space to get out there and intentionally engage their audience. With about 8 minutes left on the show, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll keep talking, and we'll do it all right after this. You don't drink, you don't smoke, what do you do? Hey, Troy, listen, looking forward, I mean, you're the chief operating officer of a big, big financial brand out in South Carolina. Is there any part of you that thinks that you will, A, adopt additional social media channels or maybe shed some of them, or do you think it'll be kind of the same going forward 5 or 6 years from now?
Well, for us, I mean, we just pay attention to the trends and make sure that we know where the conversation is. And to give you an example, it's like, yes, there'll be give and take. It's sort of like the fax machine. We'll use the fax machine sparingly if we need to for whatever it's called to do. It's a delivery channel that helps us out. But do I spend a lot of time and effort and energy on it? Absolutely not. But when it comes to social media, I think what Jay said earlier is important. It's called strategy. And I would also then caution any organization that has a two-person department and you think that the entire responsibility of social media is for those two people, you are gravely mistaken, and that would be your first problem, because you have not properly allocated the resources for what you're doing. It is a conversation. You have the conversation as you go. So it's responding corporately is one thing, but here is a strategy for social media that many folks miss out on. When we're sitting here in these conferences, we're actually putting out information. You know, there are our friends who hear us talk about credit union. We should be talking about credit union so that our feeds actually go to other people who can then be, who can have that impression. And I look at the impressions that are made through social media, through the text, or through the audio or visual, depending upon what is put out there, is it's much like an image campaign. We are spending money on an image campaign, and that's what the CEOs have to start looking at. This is an image campaign, because what you're saying is I'm relevant because I am in the conversation. If I am not going to be in the conversation, you're going to be on the sidelines. Somebody else is going to be able, is going to be speaking, and they're going to take it over. So do you want to participate or not? Think of it that way. When you put up a billboard that just simply identifies your logo and maybe puts a website, do you track the ROI for that? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
And even if you did put a big billboard up that said how many products and services you're selling, a particular product and service, you cannot equate that billboard to the exact product and service that was purchased, because there are many of them that occur that are completely ignorant of any of that information that's up there. They just have seen you from another reason. So you also combine it then with top of mind. That was something else we said earlier today. That is important. You want people to think of you. So that's why we do it.
Yeah.
Well, I know that, you know, like I said, going forward, it's going to be an ongoing conversation. Troy, I know you've got a conference to get back to. I want to thank you so much for jumping in and joining us for a few minutes today, buddy.
I am so happy to do that because, you know, if the topics are hot, but the hosts are
much hotter, no matter
much hotter
where
smoking.
You might be.
Yep, so your hot host is going to go back to the conference. I'll see you guys
buddy.
Later. Bye.
Be safe and
bye,
travel
Troy.
Safe. Well, take
Thanks.
Care, man. You know, Troy brings such a high level view. He's got a billion-dollar brand that he's responsible for out there in South Carolina. Jay, what surprised me about the article was the reaction, not by everybody, but has social media become the thing that we're not allowed to scrutinize?
Well, everything is open. Everything should be open to question. And social media should be also. But, yeah, someone did respond and said, well, you know, you just – ultimately implying you just don't get it. And, listen, if you have a differing view, that's cool. That's also part of the power of social media and communication. We're not always going to agree. It's like this show. You've had hosts on you didn't or guests on that you did not always agree with, and that's fine. That's the debate. That's really cool, and that is interesting, and that would make social media more interesting. But to just basically dismiss someone and name call is pretty separate.
I was surprised by that. I was surprised by that too. Now, you know, I agree with you. This idea that you have one person doing all of this, unless it's just like a gigantic brand and it can be demonstrated. But you're right, a two-person marketing department, one person doing all that. What bothers me sometimes is I follow, you know, I'm on Twitter, I follow things, and I see a credit union marketing professional spending a great part of their day tweeting stuff that really has nothing to do with the brand. Oh, we're having for dinner or where we're eating lunch or look at this funny picture of my coffee cup. Maybe again, and Jay, you know, part of it might be my age. I spent a lot of my professional life without all of this stuff, but I wanted to ask you the same question I asked Troy. Where do you see all of this going over the next several years?
Well, I hope it goes in a direction that we can begin to measure. And understand the value that we're gaining. There is a brand. Troy's absolutely right. There's a brand component to this where we have to nurture the brand. We need to respond from a customer service standpoint. We need to make sure that we're part of the conversation. People see us and know us and can identify us with the content we're adding and the conversation we're adding. But it would be great to be able to measure it so that we know whether we should put more resources here or less.
Absolutely.
I think that Will early on had something else that I thought was fascinating. You know, new stuff will come out, but we're going to have to begin to self-limit which we'll be a part of. We may choose Facebook, but we may not choose Twitter. We may choose Vines. We may not choose, right? So we're going to have to pick and choose because we can't be everywhere. We can't be in LinkedIn and Facebook. We still don't have the resources. And if they're connected socially, they'll be able to find us either way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, folks, as we come up on the end of the show, the other thing I want to ask you about is, of course, Jay, when you're not doing all the great things you do at Marquee, you've got a couple books under your belt, and you've got another one coming out at the end of August. Tell us about it.
Well, thanks for asking. It's a book called Marketing Execution. And Fortune magazine had an article just a while ago talked about how less than 10% of even well thought out plans and strategies are actually executed. So we spend all of this time and effort putting together strategies and plans, and yet no one does anything about it.
Right.
And so the book is essentially about highlighting why this is true. What happens, what's the disconnect, and how to execute. Let's talk about some specific examples of what people do to execute to achieve strategic goals. And what's that look like? What kind of results does that look like? And a big part of that relates to data and harnessing data. A quote talks about Eric Schmidt, former CEO of Google. said that between the dawn of time to the year 2003, there were about 5 exabytes of data created, right? And he said, at this point, 5 exabytes of data gets created every 2 days. Well, that's probably faster than that. It's probably every day now. So all of this data, all of this information, what are you doing with it? He who harnesses data and leverages it to generate personal connections with people, relevant conversations, wins.
I agree.
Those who don't lose.
That's right. And I think that's what I've always enjoyed about my time when I was an employee at Marquee, when I worked with y'all as a consultant, is this constant focus on results. Because I'm going to tell you, and again, it could be my age, but I think there's a lot of people out there, even in the credit union and banking marketplace, that want credit for intentions. Well, we intended to do this with the Twitter and the Pinterest and the Facebook and all this stuff. We intended to do these things, but don't ask me what the results are. Well, I think we're going to have to ask that question going forward, especially if the time spent on all of this stuff that we can't measure is taking away from the stuff that we can measure from a profitability standpoint. And I think that's going to be the balance we're all trying to find. You know, the show is called The Power of Performance. It's supposed to look at everything. The show is the metaphor for your bank or credit union. You know, you put on a live performance every day. We put on a live performance every Wednesday. And we try to find the right balance between talking about things that we do and don't understand and bring people on to help us clarify things. Jay, I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to join us and fill in for Troy.
It's been my great pleasure. Thank you. It's a great conversation. And I know every week you do this, and as fascinating as it is to be a part of this live right now, I know you get hundreds, thousands of listens to during the week. That is remarkable.
Yeah, we had over 1,000 downloaded listens last week. And by the way, congratulations to Bryce Roth. He made the final 15 at the Q's Next Top Credit Union Executive. I saw that out on CU Insight when I was pulling up your article. Hey, listen, until next we speak, my friend, you have a great, great week out there in North Texas.
Thank you, and likewise down there in New
Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, where we are signing off. If it's Wednesday, it's The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more? Every Wednesday, we'll talk about whatever's hot and happening, and we'll see you guys next week. Talk to you soon.